Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we continue with the life of Jonah and the message of Jonah, the call of Jonah, his work. This time, it's from chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Now, Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Why was he displeased? Because he preached to Nineveh, that is, Jonah preached to Nineveh and told them they'd be destroyed if they didn't repent. And people began to repent. And so God spared that city. But Jonah becomes greatly displeased and angry that God did not carry out the evil he threatened against Nineveh. He prayed, "I beseech you, Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I first fled to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, rich in clemency, loath to punishment. And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." I mean, he has really gone overboard, hasn't he? He's furious because he, Jonah, put himself out there prophetically declaring what would happen to them. He just didn't take into account what of the people actually did turn and repent, which the people did. He didn't take that into account. So here he is telling them everything that God's going to do to them. They repent, and instead of rejoicing at their repentance, he's humiliated. Because he was speaking the word of the Lord, they were going to be destroyed. And God instead chose mercy. Why should we be angry? But we do it all the time. They deserve to be punished. We're upset because they didn't get what was coming to them, what they should have gotten. Apply that to forgiveness. There are times when someone does us grievous harm and they go to the Lord and they repent and they ask forgiveness, but we don't want to forgive. That's where Jonah is. And just as we find in this passage from the book of Jonah, so it's true in our own lives. Lord, give me the grace to forgive as you forgive. Give me the grace to put aside what you put aside. Give me the grace to follow you more closely, even when it goes against my own pride. I want somebody to come to me on their knees, begging me to forgive them because of the grievous thing they did against me. And they simply come and say, "Will you forgive me?" And you think, "Oh, you deserve to be punished a whole lot more." Are we going to choose Jesus' way, or are we going to choose our own way? It's a hard one. But I urge you to really take a look at it as it applies to your own life. And so here we have again, Jonah. "I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, rich in clemency, loath to punishment. And now, Lord, please take my life from me." Wow. "For it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord asked, "Have you reason to be angry? Why are you angry?" Jonah then left the city for a place to the east of it, where he built himself a hut and waited under it in the shade to see what would happen to the city. Okay, let's see what you do. And when the Lord God provided a gourd plant that grew up over Jonah's head, giving shade that relieved him of any discomfort, Jonah was very happy over the plant. But the next morning at dawn, God sent a worm that attacked the plant and it withered. And when the sun arose, God sent a burning east wind, and the sun beat upon Jonah's head until he became faint. Then Jonah asked for death. Jonah is a man of extremes. But Jonah asked for death, saying, "I would be better off dead than alive." But God said to Jonah, "Have you reason to be angry over a plant?" "I have reason to be angry," Jonah answered, "angry enough to die." Whoa. His anger's out of control, isn't it? And then the Lord said, "You're concerned over the plant, which cost you no labor and which you did not raise. It came up in one night, and in one night it perished. Should I not be concerned over Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot distinguish their right hand from their left, not to mention the many cattle? You see the mercy of God. You see the gracious willingness of God to forgive, and you see Jonah as an example of how we all are. We're stingy, very stingy in offering forgiveness. Or we offer forgiveness, but we still, quote, we offer forgiveness, but we still carry a grudge. God doesn't want that. God wants us free. Forgive and know that God, who is utterly just and utterly merciful, will do the perfect thing on our behalf. Do what God asks you to do. Forgive. Let go. And then watch what God does. Psalm 86, Lord, you are merciful and gracious. You are merciful and gracious. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for to you I call all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in kindness to all who call upon you. Hearken, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the sound of my pleading. All the nations you have made shall come and worship you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you are great, and you do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Take Psalm 86, pray it, and ask God to give you the spirit of the psalmist here, which is the Holy Spirit. Ask God to give you a realization that you are a child of the most loving Father that could ever be, God Himself. And then go and do what He does. Learn what He says and obey it. Follow Him closely, and you will know a peace that surpasses understanding, and you're going to be able to bring many others into that same peace. I really want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to take a long look at yourself. All right, let's take a look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, Father, hallowed be your name. Abba, Daddy even, Papa, hallowed be your name. Notice, it's not my name. It's your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Do you see? It's not you, not my will. How many times, and I know I've mentioned this on the program, how many times have I said to the Lord, Lord, I want your will, but let's do it this way. In other words, I want the same outcome you want, but I think I have a better idea of how to accomplish it. Do you see how proud I am when I give in to that? It's actually arrogance. And it's not to diminish me to nothing when I say to the Lord, Lord, your will be done, because that's actually wisdom. When you realize that you want God's will, that will fulfill far better than any of your short-sighted, selfish goals to accomplish what you want for yourself. When you say to the Lord, your will be done, then God can use you in ways that you can't even imagine in this world for many, many people. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Not my kingdom. Not my little temple that I've built. Not my little kingdom where I'm Lord and ruler. I'm a servant. I'm a disciple. I'm a son or daughter. But there's something that goes before that. Servant, disciple, son, daughter, is I am your servant, your disciple, your son, your daughter. I belong to you. We are of the same family. I want you to lead me. Show me the way you would have me go. You don't end up being reduced. You actually end up, when you put God in his rightful place in your life, you end up being richer and better, and your life expands in ways you couldn't imagine. So make the Lord's Prayer your prayer. Pray that prayer. Pray it daily. Our Father. And I pray my Father. I pray it both ways. My Father. And then our Father, because he is my Father. And that's important to acknowledge and understand and believe and live out of, my Father. But it's also equally important to say, our Father, that he is the Father of those around me. Therefore, I have a certain responsibility to offer who I am and what I have for the upbuilding of those in my family, my workplace, my Father, our Father. Hallowed be thy name. Do you honor the name of Jesus? When you come into church, how quickly we make the sign of the cross and we're looking around to see where we're going to sit and we perfunctorily genuflect. How about taking the water in the holy water font and really saying, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I give you this next hour or hour and a half. I give this as a time to worship you. I put aside my concerns now and put them down, and I come to worship you. When we fix our gaze on our Father who is in heaven, our life honestly begins to change. Give us each day our daily bread. Notice, I don't ask for the next week or month or year or for the rest of my life. I ask for what I need today. Do you pray that way? Forgive us our sins. Here we go. As we forgive everyone else. Forgive us our sins. As we forgive those who trespass against us. You're asking God, we've talked about this before, you're asking God to forgive you the way you forgive others. Is that what you want to say? But that's what the Lord's Prayer says. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Brothers and sisters, these words are serious. They've come from the mouth of Jesus himself. It requires in each of us a change. There's a real change needed in us, that we might be in a place where God is first and we are second. And when we stop striving, when we surrender to God, when we're obedient to him, he will use every gift and talent we have, and he will bring us into eternal union with him. What could be better than that? God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.